Reformat by Iber, read by Nightracer. Fandom Hockey RPF, Sid Gino. Sequel to Steel Man of Magnitogorsk. Gino cooks from memory and never writes shopping lists down. He remembers everyone's birthday and name and face as soon as he meets them. His after-action reports are always detailed and accurate, and when Sid reads them, it feels like reading a summary someone wrote after watching a video of the battle. "You have really good memory," he comments on it once.
"Not really," Gino tells him, smiling. "Just extra hard drive space."
It takes a moment before Sid realizes that while there had been nothing to fix with his brain, it hadn't stopped the doctors from doing a few improvements. Gino has his regular memory, but also has an extra hard drive linked to his limbic system.
"Only use sometimes," Gino explains. "When really need to remember. Easier to make memory trace an extra hard drive. Synaptic remodeling."
Sid just nods along because he doesn't know enough anatomy to get it.
"I just wanted to make sure you always knew the recipe for my favourite pie," he teases when Gino has finished talking.
Their first anniversary is coming up soon, and Sid doesn't really care about marking events like that, but he thinks it'd be a nice excuse to have pie. Gino grins.
"Never forget that,"
he agrees, and then leans in for a kiss. Sid doesn't see Gino before it happens. It's a random mission of the Russian government, the ones Gino takes sometimes when he's feeling guilty for having abandoned his motherland. He vets them with Sid first, to make sure they're not too stupid or too shady. This one had seemed simple, patriotic. Sid had wished Gino good luck with it, and kissed him once on the cheek before he flew off. That is why, after it happens, Sid sits in the League's affiliated hospital facility, with his head bowed and his shoulders stooped in guilt. It had seemed so simple and patriotic. He should have known better. "The external damage is easy enough to repair, but..." The doctor glances at Sid, turns to Mario, before finally looking down at his chart. "Well, the wipe was done on purpose, and he was thorough."
"Which means what?" Mario asks.
The question starts the doctor stuttering again.
"Well, just that I don't think he's ever going to get any of it back."
Sid tries to remind himself that Gino is okay.
"At least he's not dead," Sid thinks.
"At least he's still Gino." But when Sid gets cleared to go in and see him, Gino looks up at him with one normal eye and one robotic red one, neither of which recognize him. And Sid can't help but think that maybe he isn't still Gino after all. Gino remembers everything up until age 10, and then everything else is spotty. He recognizes his parents and his brother, and his English is way worse than before. But at least he remembers how to use all of his biotech. It's not a surprise to him. He just smiles and says,
"They must be good for hockey," in Russian.
His brother is the one to explain that he's not allowed to play hockey anymore, that he's a superhero, not a normal boy. Gino's eyes shutter, his mouth half opens in confusion. It's like watching a computer freeze. His eyes blank, like an error blue screen, until suddenly everything flickers and the operating system boots up again. Gino smiles and his eyes light up. A little dim, but there.
"Well, I must be a great superhero."
"You are," his mother assures him. He grins at her praise. What Gino definitely doesn't remember is Sid. He doesn't know about the League or Canada. The Vancouver Olympics are a complete surprise to him. Sid tries to talk to him, to remind him some of the things they used to do together. But it mostly just ends up frustrating Gino because of his lack of English fluency. Once, when Sid asks,
Do you remember what our house looks like?
It actually makes Gino cry. Sid's eyes widen.
"Why are you crying?"
he asks, panicked. Gino almost never cries in front of Sid, and never because of a personal issue. He'll cry during romances and sad movies,
and sometimes he laughs until he tears up, but he never heaves and shudders with sobs like this, genuine ones that make Sid's chest tight.
I no remember, Gino says, pleads. You love me. I not know you.
He cries, like it's the greatest tragedy he's ever mourned. Sid has to look down so that he doesn't start crying too. At least, he thinks, at least Gino's heart is still in there, beating and aching as reliably as ever. There are some things to be grateful for. Do you remember the surgery? The doctor asks. Sid can hear the way Gino's parents breathe in, holding on to the air in their lungs like hope.
What surgery? Gino asks.
Natalia and Vladimir cry their relief out over each other. Sid stands there and tries to be grateful, instead of focusing on the horrible way he wishes Gino remembered that agony, because at least then he'd remember them. Sid and Gino spend a week with the Malkin before Natalia kisses Gino on the cheek and says something in Russian. Gino translates it as,
I need go back with you.
With me? I live in Canada, Sid objects.
Yes, Gino agrees.
Something is clearly being lost in translation. Except for how it's not, because Mario explains.
He can't stay in Russia while he's vulnerable like this. The Russians may want to keep him there, sign him to another contract, and he's not emotionally mature enough to deal with that kind of pressure right now.
Sid wants to shout that he's not emotionally mature enough to deal with living with his lover who's forgotten him entirely, but he bites his lips shut because that wouldn't be professional. He's not Sidney Crosby, the man who was left behind right before his first year anniversary right now. This is Captain Canada business. As much as Gino is a superhuman, all steel arms and rocket boosters, he's also just an innocent bystander at the moment. And Sid wants to protect the innocent. More importantly, he'll always want to protect Gino, who is still awkwardly getting used to his longer limbs and broader shoulders, so he says. Okay. And after dinner that night, flies back to Canada in Gino's arms. He doesn't think about what the house must look like until the door is already opened and Gino's rushing past him to look. Sid doesn't know what to think, but the way Gino pauses at every photo of them. There's one where they're smiling with his midget team, another of when Gino had insisted they picnic in the park. Gino runs his hands over the things that are clearly his, mementos from Russia and old birthday gifts. He stares at the hockey gear scattered around the house, and skates that are clearly in Sid's size, and the ones that are obviously not.
Dennis say, I not play hockey anymore, Gino asks,
reaching for a stick that's too long for Sid's reach.
You do with me,
Sid replies. He's proud of that fact, glad that he had convinced Gino to step out on the ice with him in the last almost year of them dating. Gino might have rockets in his feet and be able to fly with almost no effort, but he's never as comfortable as he is on skates, cutting his mark into the ice.
Can check, Gino jokes.
He's smiling a little too softly to be teasing. Sid wonders if his fondness is showing, if Gino is just reflecting it back at him. Gino used to smile at him like that just because. Yeah, Sid says. I'm not half biotech like you, but you can check me.
Play tomorrow, Gino asks.
He's so excited that Sid can't say no. So he agrees, and they go upstairs to get Gino's room ready. Sid has been sleeping without him for weeks now, but it's the first time they'll be spending a night apart in their own house. He gets ready for bed alone, and contemplates the second sink in his bathroom that won't be used again. The extra towel gets thrown in the hamper. When he sits down on the bed, Sid gives serious thought to settling in the middle, stretching out the way he used to before Gino invaded his bed and sprawled all over both their halves. Instead, he falls asleep huddled into his usual corner and tries not to think about how the house suddenly feels so cold. The kids don't understand why Gino doesn't remember them, but they're excited to have him there anyway. His gait circles around them as they're warming up, and he picks up Darcy, who is considering switching to figure skating, and wants to know what lifts feel like. Peter mentions that he always gets ice cream after hockey, and Gino's eyes light up, like he's really 10 years old again. He doesn't look at Sid expectantly or anything, but Sid saw it. He takes Gino out for ice cream afterward. Gino eats his triple scoop out of a waffle cone, and Sid tries not to laugh around his more efficient spoon and cup. It would be a nice date if Gino remembered him.
Go on date a lot? Gino asks,
finished with a strawberry scoop and moving on to the cherry vanilla swirl portion of his cone.
We used to, Sid confirms. Not outside a lot, but we stayed inside and cooked together. Sometimes we watched movies. A lot of times we'd watch hockey. Even though can't play.
I think he just liked how hockey reminded him of his childhood, Sid explains. Gino hums in something that might be agreement, but Sid is stuck on how weird it feels talking about Gino like he's not sitting right across from him, like he's not the person Sid is actually talking to. It makes him feel like Gino is dead. His Gino is dead, he reminds himself.
How long do you think you'll stay? Sid asks. Where? Gino asks,
licking a long stripe up his cone to keep the melted ice cream from dripping onto his hand. Sid smiles helplessly, despite himself.
With me, you'll want to get your own house soon, right?
Gino tilts his head to the side, confused. I mean, you can't be comfortable with me. Sid can't imagine how Gino would be, because he's not comfortable with Gino. Except, maybe his problems really are just his own, because Gino shrugs and says,
"Don't remember life without you."
Sid freezes.
Maybe as kid, but I not kid anymore. Can't be with parents even if want to, even if were kid.
Gino explains in his halting English that is rapidly improving, but nowhere near where it used to be. It makes him seem even more childlike, licking ice cream from his fingers as he stumbles through his explanation and Sid's unease.
So, don't know how live without Sid.
It would be romantic if Gino didn't sound so matter-of-fact, so awkwardly displaced. Sid lost a lover in the mind wipe, but Gino lost years of himself. It's a different kind of trauma than screaming through an operation, than being forced to fight for a country that might always be on the tipping point of hating you. Gino needs time to re-establish himself. He never had a secret identity, and now he has none at all. Sid spoons with a mouthful of mostly melted ice cream into his mouth, and thinks this is the moment he learns to let go. His Gino will never come back, but there's a Gino to take care of anyway, and he looks up, where Gino is methodically biting his cone down, taking nibbles in circles so that it's all even. It takes forever, but he's smiling as he does it. Doesn't seem embarrassed, even when he notices Sid watching him. And this Gino might not be his Gino, but Sid loves him anyway. They don't date. Sid would feel weird about it, and Gino doesn't seem to think about that at all. They don't really have a relationship. At least, not one that Sid can label. It's just that, after the third night of sleeping curled around his pillow, Sid hears his door open and doesn't have enough time to react before Gino jumps on the bed. He doesn't even try to be subtle about it, and it startles Sid into laughing.
Sleep here tonight? Gino asks,
moving to drape his mostly biotic arm over Sid's waist. The metal is cold, colder than the air would have been. But Sid's shivers are less from the temperature and more from satisfaction of having it there.
Sleep here every night,
Sid mumbles, trying to muffle his plea in his pillow. Gino presses a smile to the back of Sid's neck, as if he heard anyway. Sleeping gets a lot easier after that, Sid waking up with his ear pressed to the solid beating of Gino's mechanized heart. Things get a little more normal.
They start watching movies again, some that Sid had watched with Gino before, but that he's happy to see again. Sometimes Gino has the exact same reactions, and Sid's heart aches when what he sees matches up with what he remembers. Other times, Gino reacts completely different, smiling when he used to be angry, or crying when he used to just smirk. In general, it seems like Gino feels a little more than he used to, like the metal he carries around with him hasn't hardened as much as it had. And then Sid gets attacked. He's in the middle of a mission as Captain Canada, trying not to worry about Gino, who is still at home. The League hasn't cleared him for any missions, and Ovechkin was covering for him with the Russian government. Sid wondered sometimes if it made Gino restless to be carrying around greatness, locked inside his bones and encasing his skin, and not be able to do anything with it. He always figured it didn't matter much. Gino never really cared about the superhero part anyway. Except, then Sid gets knocked down in the middle of a fucking robot invasion, mostly because there are cameras fucking everywhere, and he's trying to protect the reporters rushing in to cover the scene. He's in the middle of ushering one to safety when he gets hit in the back with the laser beam, and even though he's okay, it still hurts. He doesn't think he's in real trouble until he manages to get up and finds himself surrounded. His back is sore and probably covered in burns. He'll heal, but it'll take a while. Until then, he's vulnerable and anything he does will just screw him up further. Sid really wishes Canada had more superhumans. He doesn't even think about Gino sitting at home watching, worrying about him, until he sees him. He's not that far from their house. Sid realizes, so he probably shouldn't be surprised by suddenly seeing Gino land on a robot and rip its head off. But he is anyway.
"You're supposed to be at home," Sid yells at him,
barely dodging another laser beam. He's trying to maneuver closer to Gino, but the robot army is making it difficult.
"Sid hurt," Gino objects.
Sid watches his biotech arm go straight past his jaw to crush another robot to pieces. He doesn't flinch.
"Just want to make sure Sid okay," he says.
It sounds like a plea. Sid heaves a sigh, but he really does need backup. Besides, Gino didn't forget how to fight. He didn't forget how to be a superhero, and he proves it. Afterward, when they both saw and collapse into a heap on Sid's floor, the couch not being big enough for the two of them, Sid mumbles, "The League will probably clear you for duty again."
"Good," Gino says, resting his chin on top of Sid's curls. "Can be sidekick."
"My sidekick?"
Sid asks, giggling at the thought.
"Steel Man of Manitoba," Gino agrees.
And then they both crack up at the thought. They're both too lazy to cook dinner that day, so they call for takeout and eat out of the carton so they don't have to do the dishes. Hockey season has started up again, so they watch the Red Wings, and Sid starts every time Gino cheers for a goal. Mostly they just lie there together and feel comfortable. It's getting easier to forget they've known each other for only 3 months, minus years. Sid is forgetting what it was like to date Gino. Gino is running out of things to realise he forgot. So, it's not a relationship. It's just them. Sid does not mark the anniversary on any calendar. He doesn't even remember it when he wakes up. After all, it's not really an anniversary of anything anymore. The Gino he would have celebrated with is gone. Lost in a hard drive reformat to save Russian intelligence from falling into the wrong hands. It would be painful to dwell on something that can't be anymore. It would be hurtful too, because the Gino that's left behind might not be his, but he's pretty great. At least Sid thinks so, until he wakes up and Gino isn't there. He scowls but gets up anyway, brushes his teeth and showers like usual. They don't have to be at the rink until noon for a game, and he was hoping Gino would be there when he woke to act as a nice pillow to lie on, to cuddle up to while they slept in. Instead, Gino is up and in the kitchen. He's dressed, as if he went out this morning, and there are grocery bags scattered around the table to show where he went. Sid stares at the scene incredulously.
"We weren't out of food," he objects.
"No, but didn't have what I need," Sid is going to ask what Gino needed. But then Gino opens the oven and he smells his favourite pie. Not remember much, Gino says, smiling sheepishly as he sets the pie out to cool. But remember important things. Gino's eyes are wide with an eagerness to please, but his mouth is turned down, as if he knows this isn't really what Sid wants. What Sid wants is a superhero happy ending, where Gino miraculously gets his memory back and they can be together again. No year to lose in the line of duty. No year to struggle through again to gain it all back. But Gino is wrong about what Sid wants, because he gave that dream up a long time ago. Instead, all he wants now is a kiss, which Sid leans forward and up to get. Gino kisses him back, and the downward turn of his lips move upward in a smile. The red glow of his eye seems to shine brighter after they part. Sid can hear the way his metal-encased heart beats just a little faster. This is both the same and different from the way it happened the first time. And Sid's heart would ache, but he's too happy for that. Make new memory traces? He asks, refusing to move far away enough from Gino for his words to really be comprehensible. Gino seems to understand him anyway, hums his agreement and says, with Sid. And maybe it can be both them and a relationship. Maybe it always has been. Whether Gino remembers or not. Whether Sid thinks of it that way or doesn't. Even if their relationship got reformatted, they're still standing and living together and kissing in the kitchen. Gino still has a heart that beats too quickly and too strongly, and he still remembers the most important things. The end. Thank you for listening.